weekdays from 4.
105 Drive with Julian Clover.
Seeing you home.
Cambridge 105.
The Gadget Guide.
Good evening and welcome along to Gadget Guide number 92. And this week we are joined by Dave Hall, he's a local software developer and gaming enthusiast. And we're going to be talking all things latest technology in the virtual reality. And I have to say, we last spoke about this, Lawrence, I think in 2014.
Yeah, 2014 we talked about the Oculus Rift because that was a Kickstarter campaign at the time, and I think it was just before Facebook went and bought them and confused everyone. And we also talked about the fact that Sony were thinking about Project Morpheus and a few other things, but it was very early days in the VR space.
Okay, things have moved on certainly a long way from then. First of all, though, some technology news. New Kindles, Amazon have been busy.
Yes, so what's interesting, possibly the most interesting thing, is they've got a white one. Now, the original first Kindle ever was white. but no, their new Kindle that they've just launched, available from today, coming in at the same price that the original one was, so £60-odd, in white or black. One of the big additions is Bluetooth.
Now, this is interesting because they did launch, I forget the model name actually, they launched a Kindle recently that went massively higher in price, didn't it? The sort of $200-$300 one.
Yes.
And it's interesting that they've now come back down to that original price point.
They didn't kill off the original one when they brought out the expensive one. The expensive one added a lot of extra interesting functionality in terms of a removable battery pack, so you could make the whole thing a lot lighter, or add more capacity if you wanted to have the capacity to do long trips away from power sources. But the new one, the main addition being, it's thinner and lighter and so on, but some of the main additions are software, so there's some facility to export your notes and highlights that you make of content to a PDF, and they're thinking that that will be coming to the other Kindles that are in the range with software updates as well. But the addition of Bluetooth is for people who like to listen to the narration of books, so visually impaired
audiobooks,
and also the read-along capabilities. So quite a useful addition for the product, and staying the same price, so that's great. So yeah, if you're in the market for Kindle. Yeah.
Very nice. From books to photos, Hasselblad. This is really the photography geek's end of the spectrum, isn't it?
Yeah, the end that most photographers
dream of
and has been known as, the Rolls-Royce of medium format cameras. Now, medium format is a bigger size negative in the analog world. In the digital world, Hasselblad went digital, and the sensor inside is a lot bigger than a DSLR, so a digital SLR sensor. It's almost twice the size. So that means you capture a lot more light, a lot more clarity, a lot nicer pictures. So used by professionals.
Presumably, though, much more expensive as a result.
Yeah, I mean, the original digital Hasselblads, when they came out, were, five digits. And that was probably without a lens. Now, their new entry-level one, I say entry-level, their X1D, which they've come out with, it's small, so it's smaller than most DSLRs, coming in under £6,000.
Okay, so this is definitely still very much at the sort of prosumer, the sort of the high-end consumer, low-end.
It still has the same 50-megapixel sensor in it that the Pro ones have.
Oh, very nice. Okay. So that maybe for the really high-end photography enthusiasts, or perhaps those who've been doing event photography, have been analog up until now, want to move digital?
Or have done, when they moved into the digital world, moved with digital SLR because Hasselblad was too expensive, and now Hasselblad are targeting those people who bought things like the Canon 1 series or the 5 series, because they're in the same sort of price league.
That's true.
So very interesting stuff from them, so worth looking. Some freebies now.
Oh, yay.
So for the Android users who have phones that support Android Pay, this is Android's new contactless payment system.
I have to say, I've been using that recently. It does work pretty well.
So have you had your freebies yet?
No, I haven't. I'm looking for that.
So I think the current ones have expired, but you need to visit Android's Payday website. So you'll find that on Android... I'm just trying to find the Android. I've lost the
link. And Android.com and then Android.com/intel/NUK. So
I think you just search for Android Payday. Anyway, their first freebies were a free Starbucks Frappuccino if you bought one. So buy one, get one free.
Very good.
You just have to show them that you had the app installed. And then a local company who are covering most of Cambridge, Deliveroo, will give you £5 off your first order if you pay with Android Pay.
Ah, very good. And it seems to be present in a lot of shops, pretty much anywhere that takes contactless. So the co-op self-checkouts I've used at the various fast food chains, pretty much anywhere that contactless did work. you can now use Android Pay.
Annoyingly, it seems UK contactless doesn't quite work outside the UK yet.
I've not tried that one.
Having tried that last week, yep. Contactless? Nope, doesn't work. Tried sort of several cards and the phone and none of them worked. But yeah, one of those things.
Okay, so if you're into your live streaming, if you fancy yourself as a little bit of a video journalist, a couple of new options here, haven't
there? So first I did some live streaming last week on Facebook because that is a feature that they've added recently. It's only been available on the Android platform for a couple of months. Apple, I think, had a few weeks on top of it.
So this is where you can actually go out and instead of sort of taking a video, posting it, and people seeing it later, they can see it as you're taking the video.
As you're seeing it, they can comment, they can like it. As you're actually filming, they can send comments to you in real time. You can respond to their comments, obviously, with your voice.
A little bit like Periscope and
very much like Periscope. You know, this is Facebook's exact target market is the people who would use Periscope or Meerkat. And, of course, the people who've been noticeably absent have been YouTube.
Yes.
Now, YouTube's had live streaming for quite a few years, way before any of these Periscopes and Meerkats and Facebook Live have been out. But the problem with the YouTube one is that you had to schedule it in advance. You had to use things like a webcam and a computer. You couldn't do it from your mobile phone.
Yeah.
YouTube's big changes. They're now bringing live streaming to your mobile phone.
Very good.
They're going to be promoting that heavily. So if you have a channel on YouTube and you start a live stream, it will be at the top of the list and they'll be actively getting people to use those.
Okay, so this one's actually Sky News reporting this. I have to say I saw this headline and I did have to sort of put my hand up and say, yeah, that's kind of something I'm guilty of. Concerns that you might be damaging your eyesight if you use your smartphone with only one eye in bed.
Yeah, now this has actually been checked out by some medical researchers who've actually done the exercise. So Moorfields Eye Hospital in London, who are world-renowned at being up there with eye technology and research, did discover that, yes, if you lie in bed playing with your phone, social media or gaming or whatever before you go to sleep, and you're looking with only one eye because you've got your head on the pillow.
Exactly.
You'll go blind in the eye that you've been looking with.
Nice. Presumably this is only temporary.
Okay, it is only temporary. So you do suffer temporary loss of vision in that eye. And they've managed to reproduce it and say, basically, if you're going to use your phone in bed at night,
Use both eyes. Fair enough. That's definitely one to watch out for. Okay, we'll be talking properly about virtual reality in a few moments. But just to recap on some of the things we have mentioned recently.
So Google Cardboard, probably the easiest, cheapest way to get into it. And now Cardboard you can buy from the Google device store in the UK.
And this is literally a lump of cardboard, isn't
it? It is a lump of cardboard with two lenses and a little magnet.
Okay, and what do you do with it?
You put your Android smartphone into this piece of cardboard, look through the two lenses at your phone, you run the app, and basically it gives you two images on your screen at once. The two lenses are focused so that you get a stereoscopic image when you look through it that gives you a 3D type representation.
Okay, and Dave, you join us. We'll be chatting properly in a couple of minutes. Some of the modern technology, a little bit more in-depth than that, really, isn't it?
Alarmingly, I still think Google Cardboard counts as a modern technology, but the modern ones, yes, much higher resolution, much higher field of view.
And much higher engagement as well.
Yes, definitely. Great sense of presence.
Okay, well, we'll be talking all things virtual reality in a couple of minutes after the travel.
Peter Gabriel, somehow managed to combine Brexit and our feature on the Gadget Guide tonight, which I'm very proud of. That's a Games Without Frontiers. Back to you, Bob and Lawrence.
I think it is the frontiers, though, isn't it? Anyway, welcome back to the Gadget Guide. Dave Hall joins us. Good evening, Dave.
Hi,
thanks
Bob.
For coming along. Now, we've spoken a few times about virtual reality, but I have to say the thing that triggered this tonight was that I wandered around to your place the other evening and you very kindly gave me a quick go on your HTC Vive, which is their new virtual reality headset. And I have to hold my hand up and say, first of all, I'm not a gamer. Yeah, I don't spend a lot of time playing computer games. I occasionally might enjoy it, but definitely not very much into it. I was absolutely blown away. This was probably the first bit of computer technology that I've tried for a very long time that I went, actually, well, this does change everything.
Have you ordered one then, Rob?
I've been hovering on the buy button a little bit, I have to say. Dave, first of all, just run us through, what is the Vive?
So the Vive is one of the first available headset which offers room scale VR, which means you're not only wearing a headset allowing you to see the world, but you've got a tracked controller in each hand, which allows you to interact with the world, and you can walk around an area up to about 5 metres by 5 metres.
So this is a little bit like if you imagine the controllers you get with the Nintendo Wii or the Wii U.
Or the Xbox.
Coupled with IMAX cinema. You've got total 360-degree vision, haven't you? You turn your head and the world turns with you.
Yes.
And how does that change the gameplay? Because it is mostly games at the moment, although we'll come on to maybe some of the other uses in due course. It is mostly games. How does that change things?
Well, what people always talk about with VR is a sense of presence, a sense that you are where the game is telling you are. And up until now, when you're playing games on screen, they can be involving, but you never think you're there. Whereas most people's reaction the first time they encounter an enemy in these games, be it a zombie or just an abstract target, is to scream and dodge, or your instincts take over and you think you're there.
And of course the difference here is that when you dodge in virtual reality, you actually dodge the thing. You know, normally you get the classic sort of you're playing a computer game and you want to look around a wall, so you move your head to the side. And of course it does absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
But in here you move to your head to the side and you can see around the corner.
Yes, and that's what contributes to the sense of you being there. And it also contributes to the fact that a major problem in VR at the moment is sweat management and hygiene of the headset, because it's very common to get sweaty.
I can imagine that's going to be a problem with first-person shooter-type games, which get fairly physical in the amount of movement around.
Yes, definitely. A lot of the popular games at the moment involve mechanics where you're shooting and dodging, and the combination of that is, yes, very tiring.
Now, it's interesting because, of course, you're moving, but in the real world, you've got finite bounds. You've got the walls of the room, and you can't see those when you're wearing the headset, can you? And how do games have to work with those or solve those problems?
Well, yes, you're essentially blindfolded in a limited space, and the way they deal with that with the Vive is something called the chaperone. You define an area which is safe for your game, and when you approach the area, it starts fading in a little cage around you so you know where the walls are. And it's not foolproof. You do still run into walls if you get involved. But
this is real-life walls.
Yes, yes.
Or bash your shins on the coffee table and things like that if you haven't moved it out the way.
Well, the most common thing is smashing your controllers against the wall. There's a lot of people with repairs underway having just smashed their 100-quid controller to pieces.
Now, you've got these controllers that you hold in your hands, and something that really struck me was when you go into the tutorial for this, you put your headset on, so you can't really see anything. You pick up the controllers, and instantly the movement on the screen or in your eyes matches it perfectly. You can get these two virtual controllers floating in front of you and touch them together, and they touch perfectly at the same time as they touch in real life. And that's something that's been a challenge up till now, getting that level of accuracy, hasn't it?
Yeah, well, it feels like you've actually taken the controls into virtual reality with you, and there's scope for extra accessories like game-specific ones, like a gun or a bow or a guitar. And yes, the tracking is extremely accurate.
Now, how does the tracking actually work? Because you've got these controllers, and in the past, things like the Xbox and the Wii U have basically put a camera on top of your monitor and pointed it at the controllers. How does the Vive manage that?
They have these boxes called lighthouses which sit in the corners of your room near the ceiling, and they fire a shifting grid of infrared lasers across the room.
We really are in the future.
Correct. And both the headset and the controllers have got little IR receivers which can interpolate the position from these two things. So as long as they can see one lighthouse, they can know where they are.
Now, you've got your sort of defined play area, which might be a couple of metres or 5 metres, but in the virtual world, you're normally in a much larger area. If you're in your typical gaming level, you're in a much larger area than sort of 5 metres by 5 metres. Does that bring any constraints on the sort of the gameplay or the game mechanics?
So it's still an emerging industry, and people are experimenting ways to do it. There's a couple of popular ones. One is where you literally use a gamepad and you slide around, but most people find that quite nauseating because there's movement but with no sense of movement.
So I saw one solution at the Gadget Show Live, which was a round thing with a ring that you stood in. It was like a toddler training device, and you put slippery shoes on and you could then slide
so
around.
So you could walk.
So you could walk, but not go anywhere.
Oh, interesting.
Yes, and there's also 2D treadmills, but these are all expensive and heavy,
yeah.
Whereas The solution a lot of games arriving at is you can teleport. So you aim your controller at a new area, press a button, and you go there. And it's either implemented in the game as a science fiction teleport, or it's just kind of glossed over.
Now, you mentioned the nausea, and this I remember when we were talking to James Ellison, one of the developers on the original Oculus Rift. They were having a lot of problems with people feeling sick. Is that still a problem, or is that improved now?
It's largely solved. Some of them are technical solutions, because the headsets run at 90 frames a second and they're full HD in both eyes, so it's enough to trick your brain that it's a real image. If the frame rate drops, then...
So this is how often the game is effectively repainting the scene in front of you.
So 90 frames a second is good. If it drops to 45 frames a second, people feel ill.
Okay, interesting stuff.
Now, does that mean that there's presumably, as well as the headset technology, there's then a requirement on the computer that's driving this, or the games console, I guess, in future that'll be driving this? Presumably you have to have a fairly powerful computer?
Yes, they've worked hard to make it so that it's not an unreasonably powerful computer. Anything at sort of enthusiast level from a couple of years ago will run it. But obviously, to get the best performance, you need an expensive computer.
And what are we talking about here? And the Vive, I think, comes in at about £750 retail price, give or take whatever the pound's done today.
Big retailers are listing it at £689 at the moment.
So around that mark, if I wanted to start as a complete non-gamer, first of all, how much should I be looking to spend on the PC? And secondly, where do I go? Do I just go to one of the major high street retailers, or is there a better way of getting a computer for this sort of virtual reality work?
I knew you wanted one. I've seen builds for virtual reality for a gaming computer that come in at around £700 or £800. So not ridiculous. If you want one which will run it very well for many years with a bit of future-proofing, more like £1,300. And you'll probably want to go to a dedicated website that sells gaming computers.
Right.
Okay. Any particular ones that listeners can go and have a look at, or just drop it into your favourite search engine?
I bought my last one from scan.co.uk.
Scan are good. Overclockers is another good one to look at. There's plenty of them out there. But even if you walked into one of the big name brands like PC World, they do actually have gaming PCs suddenly.
Presumably, a lot of it is not so much the PC itself as the graphics card.
Correct, yes. And what's quite nice is there's now PCs being sold branded as VR ready. So any of those meet the system requirements to get a nausea-free experience.
Very good. And finally, I will say that, having put this headset on, you're still attached by a cable, aren't you?
That is correct.
And that's literally like a monitor cable. Is there a chance we'll see these sort of headsets, do you think, replacing monitors for people's sort of day-to-day office work, internet browsing?
I'm fairly certain that if they can halve the weight and double the resolution, that's starting to be feasible. At the moment, they're different technologies for different purposes, but eventually, yes.
Okay, and the final thing I'll leave you with is, as someone, if you're playing a game and someone else wanders into the room, do you look like a complete idiot?
Everyone says no, but everyone does.
And of course, if your dog rushes in, you're going to trip over your dog as well, aren't you?
That's a good point. is this sort of thing a problem? And if you're playing a game and the real world happens, what do you do? Are you aware of the real world, or how do you escape?
You can turn on a front-facing camera to have a little peek, but generally you just blunder into it.
Fair enough. Well, for dogs everywhere, let's hope they fix that bit of the problem. Dave, thanks so much for joining us this evening.
Thanks, Dave.
Thanks very much, guys. And fortnight's time.
I think future episode, we'll have to do a gaming episode, specifically with some handheld gaming and things like that.
I think we should video that. I think that's the one that we put on Facebook Live or whatever it's called. I think that would be quite
YouTube,
exciting.
Surely by then, hopefully.